7:45 at WGCL. Glass in the Morning. Thank you for being with us Monday, February 22, 2016. That means it's Joe Smith time. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
Glass, how are we doing on a Monday?
Flying solo. Margaret's on a little vacation excursion. She'll be back on Wednesday. We'll hear all about it then. But Joe, last time I checked, we whipped up on Purdue on Saturday night, and the Hoosiers are in first place in the Big Ten, so that's good.
Yes, it is.
We'll get to that a little bit later this morning, and then it's always nice to pick up the paper on Sunday morning and see the local kids doing great things. Obviously, we had the high school sectional draw, or the sectional draw. I call it the sectional draw because I'm old-fashioned, the state tournament draw, but it was nice to see the pool kids at South. We just saw the girls swimming and diving at Yogi's a couple weeks ago, and the boys looking to follow in their footsteps.
Well, it was a 7-win, 500-point-plus sectional winning effort for Phil Cole's South Panthers as they successfully defended its title over in Columbus on Saturday. Youth well served as freshman Seth Glasscock in on three event wins, the 100 back and legs on the 200 medley relay and the 400 free relay. Sophomore Luke Lobring won the 200 free. A junior Matthew Jordan doing what he does well, and that's win races. Yet another underclassman. He was in on four event wins, the 100 fly, the 500 free, and the two winning relays. Senior Griffin Halloran topped the 100 breaststroke and swam on that winning 200 medley relay, and Panther mates Matt Baker, Max Grog, and Kyle Massengale helped on those relays as Coach Phil's Panthers made it two in a row to advance to this weekend's state championships at the IU Natatorium. Edgewood diver Jake Shunk was third and qualified for tomorrow night's regional at Bloomington North. Meanwhile, senior Kyle Run polished off his fine career by lowering his school record in the 100 free with a 49.3 clocking. Did not make the state, neither did the North Cougars of Dave Tanner, who was voted co-sectional coach of the meet along with Bloomington South's duo of Phil Cole and Candace Luz. Dave's Cougars posted 21 lifetime best. Max Wieger had North's best finish. He was sixth in 200 free, seventh in the 500 free. North as a team finished fourth in the sectional. Meanwhile, North senior wrestler Hunter Dalton ended his outstanding career 40-4, losing his opening match at the state wrestling championships in Indianapolis Friday night, as did Brown County's Briston Dial, both competing in that rugged 182-pound division. It was the first trip to state for both of those young men. South and North finished third and fourth, respectively, at the Conference Indiana Gymnastics Championships, won by Columbus North. Named All-Conference, South's Kelsey Shermer, along with Ashley Stewart and Emma DeLavore. North's duo of Claire Finn and Brittany LaFoon also made the All-Conference team. Well, 398 teams in four classes began the 106 Boys State High School Hoops Tournament, set to begin a week from tomorrow night in 3A, Owen Valley and Edgewood. Hook up in Game 2 over at Brown County a week from tomorrow night. West Vigo, by the way, is the defending champion. They drew a bye, as did Brown County. Northview and Sullivan will play in that opener on the March the 1st. Edgewood beat Owen Valley, by the way, 64-51, en route to the WIC title back in January. Edgewood plays host to Orleans tomorrow night, trying to finish the regular season 16-8 after beating Mitchell 75-60 on Seniors Night Friday night. North tips off the East Central six-teamer on March 1, meeting the host, the team they beat in last year's semifinals. North is 7-13, and they'll get a hold of the top-ranked team in Indiana in Class 4A, the New Albany Bulldogs, Friday night in the regular season finale here on the airwaves. We'll have Chalk Talk with Andy at 7 o'clock. Defending champion South, winners now of 12 straight, and the 11th-ranked Panthers, co-conference Indiana champs, drew the bye along with Shelbyville. Could have us a North-South semifinal on March the 4th if North wins its first game. South beat Perry Meridian Friday night for its 8th Conference Indiana title since 1999, its second shared co-championship. Panthers are 18-4. They play Thursday night at Northview, and congrats to Lighthouse Christian, both the Lions boys and girls teams in the Indiana Christian State Tournament Final Fours after each won South region titles over the weekend. Best to coaches Tim Woodcock and Mark May, and the Lions this Saturday. They'll play the state in Lafayette. In the Zone, Dave and Glass, and your phone calls to kickstart your week tonight at 6.
All right, Joe, and obviously busy times everywhere as all the sports coming together, sectional action, plenty of it, and we've got a busy night tomorrow at Yogi's as we welcome in Anthony Thompson.
Well, AT's going to step in and hopefully pinch hit for Fred Glass. Some of the boys are out in California for a conference this weekend. Fred's at the Big Ten meetings in Chicago tomorrow. So hopefully Anthony Thompson will be on board with us for behind the scenes, and that'll be followed up by Gary Sims. And the Edgewood Lady Mustangs had a terrific year in 2016. They won the conference and also the sectional. So the ladies will drop by to relive some memories from this past season.
And so could you, 6 to 7 tomorrow night, live at the corner of 10th and Indiana. Tough one for Terry Morin's crew yesterday on the road, Joe. You can't dig those holes on the road. There's not that ravenous Assembly Hall crowd to dig you out of them. When you go on the road and do that, they fall 76-73 at Iowa, breaking up their five-game winning streak, but they'll bounce back. They've got a chance to do so Wednesday night in Nebraska. And big news yesterday, Maryland winning. That's they break up their two-game losing streak on the men's side of things. But I'll let you help me out with the NASCAR yesterday. The biggest race of them all begins their season, and there was no closer finish in the history of the Great American Race than yesterday's.
Well, it was closer than that to ruler that you talked about earlier. It was
the still nice photo looked like the ruler.
Well, it was nice and tight, but when you're talking about running 200 miles plus, Denny Hamlin won his first ever Daytona 500, and he edged out Martin Truex Jr. there at the wire. Kyle Busch was third. Kevin Harvick fourth. Carl Edwards, despite some mishaps along the way, finished fifth. And my boy Joey Logano started fifth and finished sixth. So not bad. When it ain't broke, don't fix it. So Smitty's team for 2016, off and flying minus Denny Hamlin, but it's nice to see a guy that has been around the block once or twice win his first Daytona 500.
Pacers win. They beat Victor Oladipo in the Magic in Orlando last night, 105-102. Bubba Watson wins the Northern Trust Open, holding off Adam Scott and Jason Kokrak. 8:45, Joe. We'll talk a little bit more about the first place Indiana Hoosiers. I'll have Zach Osterman on here at 8:05 to talk about the what's next for Indiana and where they're headed. But a great win over Purdue. There's never a bad one, is there?
No, I'll tell you what. You knew it was going to, you know, they were going to make a run sooner or later, and they did. And right spot, right time, big plays by several people. We'll talk about the supporting cast that helped in that win on Saturday night.
Joe, there's not many victories we can point to with Indiana where balance isn't the key phrase out of the box. And it's, again, when they are balanced, they are impossible to guard. You have to make serious choices.
Sure you do.
And Purdue made those choices on Saturday night, and they all backfired. And that's why Indiana at home is very, very difficult. Well, they haven't been beaten this year.
It's 16-0 now.
The road now calls the next 2 weeks, and we'll get into those details as well. Plus, IU football spring game is set for April 15th. We heard that over the weekend, so we'll get caught up on the baseball, the softball, the diving, the swimming, and everything else at 8:45.
We'll be here to do it. Glass, how are we doing on a Monday?
Temperatures in the 50s today and tomorrow. That's a good way to start the week, especially when we talk about February. But maybe not as much sunshine today, Joe. We had some tough news over the weekend that I want you to let our listeners know about today.
Well, we lost indeed a valued man that has meant a lot to the radio station, Max Jacobs, who is the owner, along with his brother Jimmy, at J&S Locksmith at 508 West 17th Street. They've been a foundation, a pillar in the community for decades, and obviously Max lost his battle with cancer. Funeral arrangements are currently pending for Max, who passed away over the weekend. And indeed, a sad way to start the week, because just invaluable was his infectious smile and his knowledge of everything from lawnmowers to, you know, helping you get out of your car. They'd come and
they help you out with that once or twice, Joe?
Pick the lock and away you'd go, but always a smile on his face.
And a tremendous supporter of high school athletics as well.
Yeah, and, you know, it's within our Chalk Talk, our pregame show, our keys to victory for many, many years, and indeed a sad moment. Our deepest sympathies from everyone at Sarkis Tarzian, Inc., WGCL, and WTTS FM, Max Jacobs passing away, and our deepest sympathies to Max and his entire family.
And again, for those of you who knew him, how much he meant to our community. Amen. Good job, yep. Joe, as always. Here on a Monday morning, we do shift gears, though, and the positive light is the first place Indiana Hoosiers. We had a good chat with Zach Osterman last half hour. Terry Morin's crew has been garnering some attention. They fell a little short yesterday, but they're having a great season as well. The hardwood is where it all begins here on a Monday morning.
Well, three left, two on the road, back-to-back, starting Thursday night over at a tough place to play, and that's Illinois. But starting this Big Ten basketball week on top at 12-3 after, making plays at the right time Saturday night to hold off Purdue 77-73 and snap that personal three-game losing streak against the Boilers. The win also knotted up the Indiana Governor's Cup chase at 6 points apiece, heading through the rest of the winter and on into the spring. Troy Williams and Yogi Ferrell were the early table setters, scoring 28 of Indiana's first half 35 points on 10 of 15 shooting, including 5 3-pointers. And each would, before it was all said and done, reach milestones. Troy, the 8th Tom Crean player to score 1,000 career points as he finished with 19. And Yogi moved into 10th all-time on the IU Big Ten points career scoring list, 18 points on Saturday night, passing Kent Benson in 10th place. Yogi now with 1,005 and counting. Hoosiers needed to dig deep as Purdue erased all but 2 points of a 19-point second half lead. Max Bielfeld and OG Anunoby, between them scored 19 points and had 7 rebounds in the second half. And Colin Hartman took a big charge in the last minute and a half. Yogi put the finishing touches on the win. Indiana's 16th straight at home. IU scored 20 points off of Purdue mistakes and had only 4 themselves, the season best, and added 10 more points on fast break points as a transition from inducing a mistake and scoring off of it key to Indiana's success against the Boilers. Off to Illinois Thursday night, the Illini pressed Wisconsin before losing Sunday night in Madison 69-60. The Illini are 4-10, and one of those losses a blowout Hoosier win back in January, but as we all know, especially this year and on the road, there is no easy road assignment. IU had its 5-game winning streak snap. The ladies out in Iowa City losing to the Hawks 76-73 on Sunday, trailing early by as many as 19. The rally fell short. Got it to 1 point or two. Amanda Cahill had a 22-point, 14-rebound double, her 9th of her career, scored 18 in the second half, but it wasn't enough. Tyra Buss had 18, Alexis Gassian 15. Jen Anderson posted a double-double with 10 points, 10 rebounds. Indiana now travels out to Nebraska. Indiana 10-6, and they're tied with Minnesota for 4th, trying to secure a top-4 seed ahead of the Big Ten tournament fast approaching. Elsewhere, the Hoosier women of Ray Lewis have finished 2nd for a 5th straight year at the Big Ten Championships over the weekend at Michigan. The 13th-ranked Hoosiers finishing 2nd to the host over the course of the meet. Indiana won a total of 16 medals, 6 gold, 6 silver, and 4 bronze. Lily King, a Big Ten Freshman of the Year, first team all Big Ten after winning 4 of those gold medals and a bronze in her first Big Ten event. Joining King on the all Big Ten first team, Marie Chamberlain, Gia D'Alessandro, Kennedy Goss, Haley Lips, and Grace Vertigans. In baseball, Indiana won the opener but lost the last 2 in the series to Middle Tennessee State down in Murfreesboro, losing a pair of extra inning affairs. Indiana travels out to Cal State Fullerton this weekend. Michelle Gardner softballers, they won 3 of 4 at the Panther Invitational down at Florida International over the weekend. Lynn Loring's Indiana women dropped to 6-2. They lost to Notre Dame on Sunday, 6-1. They traveled down to Kentucky on Wednesday. Jeremy Wertzman's fellas were out in Oregon, losing to Oregon and Boise State, dropping them to 4-5 on the year. And like the women, they'll play at Kentucky on Friday. And in wrestling yesterday, Indiana dropped a 21-13 decision to Appalachian State in the NWCA dual series. Indiana now 6-7. Got 4 wins. Elijah Oliver at 125. Bryce McCann at 167, Nate Jackson at 174, and Matt Eirich at 184. The Big Tens will be opening up for Dwayne Goldman's crew out in Iowa City on March the 5th. Don't forget, In the Zone, Dave and Glass and your phone calls, kicking off your sports week at 6 o'clock tonight.
And the Hoosiers, Joe, get some time to mend some wounds as well. Robert Johnson had a scary fall in that game, but we saw him out on about yesterday on the crutch and the walking boot, so hopefully that's not too debilitating. Yeah. Colin Hartman took some stitches. He'll stick his head right back in there. He's not going to be worried about it. And that same Illinois team, Joe, yeah, it's a tough place to play, and part of me wants to forget that Indiana scored 61 points in 20 minutes.
You got to forget it, though.
I know. Part of me wants to, but part of me wants to remember why and how they did so, because it was balanced. And that's been, again, the key for this team. It's not a one- or a two-man show. It's when you have to give up something defensively is when Indiana can hurt you, and you saw that against the Boilermakers on Saturday.
Sure did. You saw the balance prevail. Not a lot of gaudy numbers, but consistent numbers. And like I say, you had two in the first half, lay the foundation, and Troy and Yogi. Then, you know, at halftime, neither Max nor OG had a point or a rebound, and so they get 19-7 in the second half. Colin, of course, was all over the floor. Jawan played decently, so you're looking 8-9. Harrison Nego was in there doing some good things, so everyone played, contributed, and made the plays at the right time. But that's got to carry over now. I mean, we're getting late, and this is, as I say, two key back-to-back road games before the Hoosiers close out at home with Maryland. So
the math says, Joe, if they win out, they're champs.
Very simply put.
That's
and
it.
And well said.
Hey, sometimes on a Monday, we don't want to do too much heavy lifting. But like you mentioned, Dave and I will get into the devil of the details tonight. Take your calls from 6 to 7 in the zone on that. So that means Thursday night basketball. That means you're in town tomorrow night.
In town tomorrow night, Yogi's behind the scenes, glancing at IU's athletic
new
success.
Season, yeah.
And also Gary Sims mentioning success. He'll have his Edgewood girls in with us tomorrow night, thinking back to a WIC title and a sectional championship. So
great stuff.
We'll talk to those girls as well.
Awesome. Great stuff as always, Joe. We appreciate your time, and thanks for the kind words about Max, too, here on Monday.
It's a huge loss, and, again, our deepest sympathies out to the Jacobs family.